thank you very much. The meeting is called to order. First, I want to apologize. We don't have an agenda. I think partly we are dealing with work in progress, hiccups that we have come across, trying to implement decisions of our last meeting to appoint commissioners. My attention was drawn to the possibilities that we may be dealing with an illegal exercise. That the advert which came out under the last parliament, the previous parliament, which has been authored from here, listed from the office of the deputy speaker, something like that. So I aborted everything else to try and get the actual situation, what it is that is, and convened all the minds around me, including my caucus yesterday, just to study the thing. And we thought we should come here today to then get ourselves agreed that we are not exercising any illegal litigation, and then define how quickly we can move on. If there is a remedy, assuming that we are satisfied that there is something correct procedurally in what we are doing, then we've got to look at remedial actions before we invite people for interviews. I think where we stand at the moment, the opinion that I've got and discussions that we have had, I was hoping to have a written opinion here today, but I don't have it with me now. On the legality advert.
No, but that's the legal advert I said to address it.
Okay, then you can help us with that. Just lead us on that matter. Yeah, they're here. Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Ndukwu Zalobanara. I'm the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. I got a correspondence on behalf of the Chair from the Committee Secretary. Basically, the question asked related to whether the committee could recommend more commissioners than those advertised.
That's a different matter. That's a different matter.
When I no, we're dealing with the one that sent yesterday about whether it has to be the committee or the deputy speaker who is advertised for the position.
Sir Chair, that information I got this morning, but I have. To be quite frank, I am not familiar with the process that is followed in the appointment of the Chapter 9 commissioners. I know the practice seems to be that the committees do are responsible for these processes. I then spoke to the committee, the table staff, the NA. There seemed to be a concurrence of the view that it is the committee that takes the responsibility for these processes. However, there is a particular background to what led to the to this advert having gone out under the signature of the deputy speaker. And I have requested, because apparently the then deputy speaker acted on an advice from the table staff, but I requested the advice, and I was told that I could not speak on that advice, and I respect that, and I think the people are best placed to advise the committee on how the committee ended up here today will be the table staff, the table staff. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. This is a whole new issue that I have not been aware of. I didn't even know who had sent the advertisement. If there is a difficulty with, if indeed it was the deputy speaker, But that, I'm afraid, does lead to something else I wasn't going to raise till the end.
Mm.
And that is what I read in the Mail and Guardian, that the Deputy Speaker has sent the CEO of the SAHRC a letter calling for an investigation of the efficacy of the Commission's complaints system. And that seems to me all wrong. There was established in the Speaker's office as a result of the Chapter 9 ad hoc review something of a beachhead, just a little place in the Speaker's office to make sure the Chapter 9 are not ignored. But that doesn't mean that the Speaker's office can now start making decisions that should be taken by MPs in committee. So to me, that is the matter that deserves our attention at some point.
I think it's clarification of roles. According to the Constitution, obviously we have got to do that. The suggestion that we have, just to take the meeting forward, is that if there was the irregularity or something, we don't think that the question that we thought should be asked is, did this advert, the fact that it came from the Deputy Speaker or from us directly, did it prejudice anybody? You know, and the answer is no. We think we can take a formal decision to condone that advert and therefore put it into effect as our advert. JJ?
Yeah, maybe just to add that
you press the wrong mic. Or your whip loves the mic loves your whip.
I'm asking my work to speak on my behalf, but he doesn't want his power to speak. I mean, to my mind, I mean, the Chapter 9s are accountable to the National Assembly. It's up to the National Assembly, and I think it's a delegated power to the Speaker to see who deals with it. So, for example, the Public Protector, an ad hoc committee has been appointed to look at the appointment of the Public Protector. So I don't think, to my mind, it doesn't really matter who does the advert, whether it's the Speaker's office, whether it's a committee, this committee, whether, because we didn't know we were going to get the you can't assume we're going to get we're going to be requested to recommend names. I mean, the Constitution talks about a committee of the National Assembly. It could be this committee, it could be an ad hoc committee. So I don't see any problem with, I would agree with you, I don't see any problem with the Speaker's office or the Deputy Speaker's office issuing the advert. That's a different issue that Ms. Musk was talking about, because the issue is basically the requirement from the Constitution is that a committee of the National Assembly must nominate people to the National Assembly, which then has to approve them by a 60% majority. So, and obviously, in order for the committee to nominate people, the public has to be informed. And who informs the public? I don't think it matters whether which section of Parliament, whether it is the Speaker's office, whether it is the Public Relations section, whether it is this committee, whether it is the chairperson in his individual capacity as chairperson, as long as it's done on our behalf. And I would agree there's no prejudice. The one other issue, though, is whether it matters that the advert was issued by the previous parliament, because that's effectively what has happened. It's by the former deputy speaker. And again, I would have thought on the prejudice issue that there isn't any prejudice to anyone. It's not saying that the previous parliament will, previous National Assembly will finalise the matter. So I would have thought things are in order. And anyone, I mean, the key test would be, is there anybody out there who would like to have applied to be a member of the Human Rights Commission that for some or other reason, because of these adverts, is prejudiced? And I can't see any prejudice, so I would agree with that.
Hello, brother.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, my apologies for not having attended the committee as regularly as I should have and would have. It's not possible. But I followed one of my researchers here, so I'm up to par with the discussion, even though not with it seems to me that it is the way it is. Either it's legally permissible, it's not legally permissible. I suggest that we proceed as if it were legally permissible, and we receive the documentation at the next meeting. We raise any issue, if there is an issue. Consideration, I mean, I think through the concept of ratification of what was done, with a formal action of ratification, a great deal can be covered. One thing, however, which I would like to react to, which I find very concerning, is what the Parliamentary Legal Advisor said, that the chair acted.
Where are these phones?
The chair acted on advice of the table, and that advice has been conveyed to the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, but it cannot be conveyed to us, it cannot speak to it. I mean, we are an association of members. There is nothing done within this process which can be withheld from us. So it's very, very concerning if any of us acted on advice which is then withheld from the other members. So if I understood correctly, I think this is a matter of principle. I personally would like to see that advice and receive copy of it.
I think we are agreed on one thing, that the adverts are legal, the committee considers them to be, and we are proceeding on that basis. Yeah? We are going to come to the issue that Honorable Smith raised, which is a separate matter, about how Parliament then exercises its oversight authority through committees, which is something we will come to just now. I want us to finish this process of the commissioners. So we have agreed now, we've got before us in our hands nominated people who have applied or people who have been nominated. So we need to reinstate the process and say to ourselves, if there are further nominations that are not in here, they should come in before the shortlisting. And when does the shortlisting happen? Because it should have happened this week. We had thought that we were going to start on, was it Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday, this week. So we, on that intervention, I just instructed that we stop everything until further notice. Ngongwe, you want to say something?
Now that the legal part has been cleared, my proposal would be let us resume what was supposed to be taking place on Tuesday. We agreed on this particular task to attend to the end. Because you got this information, you put things in abeyance. Now let's activate everything. Let that task go back to its work. That is the next committee meeting.
Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll ask Wanan to give us whatever he's got, additional CVs and so on. We'll ask him to. Sorry?
Clarification, sister. I don't understand your reference to additional CVs. There was a closing date in the hand, it was 8th May. And what are the new CVs you refer to? Are you referring to people who came in after that day? Because that in itself is a potentially problematic.
Just to say that what normally happens when we advertise, we will have a closing date, for instance, let's say the first. So what happens, like, towards the end of the day on the first, there will be a rush, you know, people trying to email that CV, especially some of them don't even, like, make it on the day. So if one person calling maybe 2 or 3 days later to ask, did they get my CV, and the reason why didn't, then they'll say, no, I've been trying, but, you know, it's not coming through. So those kind of CVs, like, we note them down and then we accept them, but we can make a note to the committee that this one arrived late. The reason is to arrive late was this and this, and then the committee will decide whether to accept it or not. And maybe just to say that the CV that I have at the moment, I'm still checking with the person who received them if this is everything that is supposed to be before the committee. So before the end of the day today, I think I might have a better clarity as to whether they are all
what he had before that was sent to the secretary.
Then.
Sorry to hear that things are not clear. When I was given this back on last week, I assumed that was it. But let me now, since this kind of issue arises, to point out that not all of these CVs here have the covering nomination letter. The numbers 90 through 95 are missing, if there ever were such things. The one back ends at 89, the next one starts at 96. And then at the end there are four CVs, but three persons, because one is duplicate, the two have no numbers. That one only has referred to that before. But there is clearly some documentation missing. Now, it depends what kind of approach we're going to take about how much we want to emphasize the closing days and to what degree there's leeway. But can we just clear that out of the way? Has Bonani just indicated that there are still some CVs out there lying on somebody's floor below their fax machine?
I'm not saying definitely that they are significant outstanding, but I'm saying that I will be checking with the person who received them just to make sure that she gave me everything. And when it comes to the nominations, when I was making copies of this review, there was no, like, we didn't have paper to submit a section. So then the advice was that I should give members the CVs and then the supporting documents then can provide it later if needed.
Okay, so I think we'll leave it at that stage, but agree on a date. No, before that. Let's say if Bonane should do you so much, give everybody the rest of the things by end of the tomorrow. So that we sleep over them over the weekend, then the sifting committee can meet next week, Tuesday. Tuesday?
No, I don't have a problem with, I mean, I see from looking at the CVs that, for example, number 92 came on the 11th of May. There's no name, but the top is off. Number 103 came on the 12th of May. I don't see a problem with the, I don't think that the cutoff date has to be like a guillotine, because I think we know how things work, unfortunately. Things can get sent to the wrong place, they can get mislaid, etc. To my mind, what is more crucial is ensuring that somebody didn't submit a CV, which, because it got put somewhere else, doesn't get considered. What's more important is to ensure that everybody who applies gets considered, and we don't have a situation where somebody who did apply doesn't get considered because their CV ends up in the wrong place. That's, to me, the more crucial aspect. So I think that there should be sort of flexibility on that. And then basically an agreement that then let's the the subcommittee, I wasn't at the last meeting, let the subcommittee then go through it and make recommendations. I presume that subcommittee would sit in camera. I'm just sort of thinking it's probably not a good idea to evaluate people in public and maybe make adverse comments about them and then find that they can go to PMG and discover that Ms. Musk is like, you know, the person's got to
people are careful, and simply by using numbers rather than names when you're dealing with a particular kind of subject, it's possible to. And the media have never abused that. As to the PMG, I know they take down audio, and we're based on as indeed they should. But in my experience, it really isn't necessary to go behind closed doors. And when people want to say something, to be easy to each other, you can do it. Okay.
Mm.
I think that would be regrettable.
Yes, Mandy?
I'm just careful about this. My knowledge gap takes over. One's own experience is that when you say it, especially in other temples, usually you would be asking for an exercise to actually organize that work so that it can be dealt easily by the product of all of the construction. Ideally, one would prefer a situation that team deals with that matter people. But
how exactly does it operate? Let's not forget something. The constitution, that the sections that deal with the appointment of these bodies, it has a special section that says public participation must be encouraged. And that's why we take our nominations from the public. Now, having taken our nominations from the public, it seems to me contrary to conduct any stage of the process behind closed doors. This is the way in which we give effect to the constitution.
Mr.
Sherman, there is a doubt, and when in doubt, one goes for transparency.
I don't want to make a big issue over nothing. I agree with the issue of it is important that there's transparency. Maybe that if there are, I just think it would be useful if the subcommittee is free to openly discuss without being too cryptic. Maybe that whoever is chairing just asks if the media are present for there to be sensitivity in how they report. Maybe there shouldn't be a verbatim transcript of the whole proceedings that let the media sit in. But I think a thing of balancing the ability to openly discuss versus transparency. Sure, transparency is paramount, but I'm sure there's ways of balancing the thing out without restricting the media. So basically then I'm withdrawing that.
Okay. Let's agree on that. Let's agree to that. And then say the each. Next week is difficult, you know. We really run into troubles because they're sitting from next week. So we're proposing Tuesday for the committee to meet. I don't think the committee will finish its job by Tuesday. Seeing that we'll start maybe at 9:10 until lunch, and maybe give ourselves an overlap into the next day.
Yeah, just remember, I think the sitting on Tuesday is short. So you may be able to proceed into the afternoon, but otherwise, why would you say, but yeah, I presume when you talk about the committee, you're talking about the
discipline. Yeah, the discipline committee.
Yes. Chairman, if I make a request, I want to make it against the backdrop of again my apologies for the non-attendance and pleading you to consider the burden of smaller parties and considering that the Constitution requires all of us to help us carrying the burden. So in this process, my request is that if any of us, when receiving the short list, I don't know whether it has been addressed, wish the name to be added to the short list, because we will obviously all independently go through the curriculum that be allowed within reason without reopening the process. But if a party wants an additional name to be shortlisted, should there be opportunity to do so? Thank you.
Well, I think the discussion we've just had now suggests that before the short list, we should be flexible about anybody bring a name that you want us to look at. But I think after the shortlist, it's going to take us back. What I want to suggest to the committee now is that we say, by Tuesday, if because all parties are invited to sit, by the way, in the shortlisting, okay, because we want this to be very inclusive. And I've stated this last meeting that we want to be seen to produce a commission that belongs to the community. So we don't want to place lots of obstacles on who comes in or who doesn't come in. If a name makes sense and it represents, you know, South Africans, we'll look at it. But I don't think we should say even after the shortlisting, then, you know, it's going to take us back, and I don't know. But that time is tomorrow.
I think I definitely agree with what the supporter, especially with the proviso that all parties are allowed to go to the process. Why we are approaching it in this fashion, we want to simplify and make it easy to manage. And I would support everything you said.
Did it?
Yeah, just in agreement. I mean, I know that the IFC is a bit stretched, but I think it would be essential that somebody attend, because should they reopen it? I mean, if, for example, Ms. Mutt is the VA person and Ms. Michael comes and then wants somebody else, that's going to be untenable. I'm not on the subcommittee. If I come to the meeting and then start saying, no, I want X or Y, so really to appeal to the IFC to attend and maybe for the committee secretary to make sure that maybe a written letter when the meeting is set to all of the parties saying it's here.
I agree with that.
Yeah, we're all happy. Happy people.
I'm
you are shocked. Anyway, let's come to, I think the process is defined in terms of the shortlisting. It's Tuesday, it might overlap into Wednesday morning. But we'll do the work on Tuesday and make decisions as we go forward. Then we need our deadlines to actually set up for, by the way, the process, shortlisting, and then we come back to the committee, or we issue invitations for candidates. What is the next step? Right. Then when is the next meeting for this committee?
My proposal is that if we can be accommodated, that a different day within next week should be there. My understanding is that you will table before the portfolio committee is shortlist. There must be an instance of the interview in the correct. And I would have proposed, I want to propose that the team that meets on Tuesday to do this thing must also come with a proposal that completes the process so that they are endorsed by the committee.
Okay. So we'll do that. That assists us to finish this part of the meeting today. But there is,
I was just going to be a bit more practical. What about the committee meets on Thursday? So you've got Monday and Tuesday to finalize.
Yeah.
You meet on Thursday. The house is sitting, but I think it would only probably be a half hour meeting. We can get permission because it should be done. I agree with it should be done next week so that then the processes can be set in motion. The other question would be whether it's resolved now. I don't think it's been properly considered, but you need to do it at the start to consider a number. How many people are going to be, roughly, I don't think it has to be cast in stone, how many people are going to be shortlisted?
He was going to give us an opinion on that now. That is the next issue we are going to deal with. Sir?
Mr. Chairman, there are many pages, 100 plans to the race to make possibility of having to make inquiries, ask opinions. I think if I were to sit on the committee, I would like the benefit of consultation mandates. So, from my particular viewpoint, it would assist the process if we began tomorrow. And I know that there is not great inclination of working on Fridays and Mondays, but at least from my particular viewpoint, we give to the important process the time and consultation which may benefit from.
Tomorrow is out of question.
Yes. And besides, Dr. Ambrosini will find that people have to read all night to do justice. It's not going to have any meeting tomorrow. Yeah, I've already read all night.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Let's go to the legal opinion about how many are we going to be looking at. Or do we need to decide that here, today? Or we No, on the names. Not the names, the number of commissioners. Okay, let's go ahead. He's here already. Sir,
advocate. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to apologize to the honorable members if I created an impression that I am hiding information from the committee members. The information, the opinion I was referring to is an opinion that was not prepared by myself or the legal services office, but was prepared by the table staff for their own purposes. So, and they prefer that they themselves, they would like themselves to speak to that opinion. And that's why I was saying if the committee would like to have them come and explain their own opinion, I think they're more than available to come and do that.
We have passed that part, isn't
okay.
it? That part we have passed. We are now dealing with the issue of the number of commissioners who we might were allowed to appoint. That's the legal opinion which you have written. It's in front of me. Maybe you want to walk us through that one.
Thank you, Sean. I have prepared the opinion that is in front of all the members. The question that is asked relates to two issues. One, it relates to the legal composition of the Human Rights Commission. And the second part relates to whether or not, if you had advertised five vacancies, you can later on recommend, so to speak, seven. Or a number that exceeds the advertised number. The first issue of the legal composition of the Human Rights Commission, a colleague of mine had prepared an extensive opinion on this matter, and I agree with, I concur with his reasoning as well as his finding of the matter that what the legislative framework provide for is a minimum number of commissioners to serve in the South African Human Rights Commission, and does not cap the number of commissioners to serve there. And then consequently, if there has to be more candidates to be recommended for appointment, I don't think that would constitute any legally constituted commission. Second part on whether or not if you advertise this number, whether you can recommend more than that. There's nothing in law that prohibits that, Chair, and as long as the candidates, no one is going to claim to have been prejudiced. And I don't think anybody can claim to be prejudiced when an advert was there and for everybody to see that there is an opportunity. And the issue of the number is
immaterial.
That is
the
brief.
Thank you. Okay, that's
where
we are.
I think the report goes better than maybe advising that there's nothing wrong with us appointing services. It talks about us having to motivate. Why do you have any mystery instead of the question of the availability of funds? Of course, they would say that the commission itself is better paid to advise us on the availability of funds. There is going to be easy for us to have a decision and to want that. I thought it was similar to that as well.
Chair, my worry is the advert talks about
five
full-time commissioners, okay, which is, I think, a requirement under the law that there have to be at least five full-time. My reading of the opinion was that the committee could recommend to the House additional members. And I just want to raise the possibility that maybe in the course of the interview, the committee may find that a particular person is would be really good, but although the advert said full-time, they're reluctant to give up their job. And there may be the need we may want to recommend to the House that this is also consideration given to a part-time if we feel that somebody who justifies that. So I'm just sort of raising that as a, not for deciding on now, it's academic now, but if one finds in the course of the interviews that there is somebody who's reluctant to become full-time because it would mean giving up their full-time or their job, that this is that possibility that people expect to be going to do.
Okay, I think we...
On the budgetary implications are really the only one looking at. And for that, surely, it's Treasury that needs to be interactive. We're not that far away from the adjustment appropriations. But just who should interact with Treasury is just a question that maybe needs a little consideration. I don't think the Human Rights Commission defenders that just request directly goes to the Minister of Justice. Now, some Chapter 9 do use directly with Treasury, and I forget which one is that.
The minister. So, we should just decide what our avenue is, maybe the possibility of having more effective ways in that. That is the
more difficult
issue. I think basically we'll cross that bridge. We are meeting next week and we'll begin to. As we go forward, we'll be talking to one another, talking to also other affected people and institutions.
One question.
Yeah.
Just to say that on page 5 of the opinion, the third paragraph, I think it deals with the ad hoc committee that appointed the commissioner last year. And there is reference to the mandate of the ad hoc committee that the mandate was to fill one vacancy. And now the advert that we have gives this committee the mandate to fill 5. So I don't know. We have to appoint 5. So I don't know if we will have the mandate to appoint 6 or 7. Or
I think that's the thing we say we're going to be discussing as we go along. So we are open to it ourselves as a committee. That's my understanding. But we are going to look at various aspects which might influence our recommendation. The spirit in the committee is that we might need to do more, if it's possible. I think that is the thought. That's how I feel it. Since we started discussing this particular issue. So let's leave it at that. We've defined the process. And with regard to the issue that Honorable Smart raised about the supervision of Chapter 9 institutions, I suggest we take it to the next topic that I'm tabling. We want to have a lokhotla of ourselves as a committee within not next week, that other week, around the 27th or so, 2 days, where we sit, we work out. We understand our role, what is the role of everybody else, our relationship, but also, more importantly, our program. So we want to suggest that this committee go into workshop mode on the 27th to the 28th. Let's just check our diaries on that and see if it's possible. If not, then we can look at a date so that we move early in the day, because this is a substantive issue. It deals with the core of our mandate. So we need to have time to discuss it much more naturally. Yeah. And we'll invite the P to send someone. You are stressed, obviously, but this, where is Mr. Van der Merwe? Is elsewhere.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I will be available from the 3rd of September because of other committee meetings.
Okay.
And any time, night and day from that time.
But if you are not available, what we'll do will provide you with documentation of the things that we discussed. Yeah. Minutes and so on, so that you are updated about what is happening in the committee. Is that okay? I think we are done with business of the day. Thank you.
Thank you.